Thanks so much. What a great welcome we've had on this Sunday morning. Let me just get this into the right place. So who's had an absolutely fabulous weekend? Who's glad this weekend is over and you just can't wait for Monday? Some of you, really. You're excited about tomorrow. That's really, really awesome. So we've been in this breakout series, breaking out of things that might keep us in prison. You might remember some weeks back, we had a visiting preacher. Remember, I had to translate for him because he didn't speak English. Terry from North America. And he spoke on anxiety. Remember the story of the tractor that he managed to submerge at the bottom of a lake and how anxious he was. There was fear one week happening. You know, how do I deal with fear? How do I deal with depression? That was like a deep week, you know? Something that all of us can experience at some point in our lives. And last week, Tabitha led us on a session around temptation. Remember, that was the previous week. She led us last week on heartache. Very fitting for Valentine's month, okay? So today, actually, before we start, I'm just going to give each table a bowl of sweets. And if your table's at the back, can come grab one. And you've got 30 seconds to divide the sweets up among yourselves, okay? And then we'll get going, just to give you something to chew on during it. So I want to take the bowls back when you finish, so make sure you've all got some. Okay, you have a few seconds to talk about it. So how did you choose to divide up the sweets? Were they divided equally? And who was greedy in the group and who was generous? Who was, hands up if you were one of the greedy. Hey, she saw the guys. Hands up if someone was generous in your group. Yeah, notice there's a mix of people. Friday night, one of our small group questions was, where are you on the scale of being greedy or generous on a scale of 1 to 10? If that side of the room was the greedy corner, and that was the generous corner, I wonder where you would be standing now. You know, would you be closer to the greedy wall or closer to the generous wall? And it's about our stuff and whether we share. It's about, you know, when they cut a cake, do you look for the biggest piece of cake or do you look for the smallest? Like the little thin one. And you're like, ah, oh, yeah, Teboho, have the big one. Or it's like, oh, he took the big one. I saw a lot of people looking sideways when you were dividing those sweets up, like around the group. Like, you guys almost seem to have like a nice system, how you were sort of like dividing up. Did that work out quite well? Jesse looks like he's got quite a stash, just saying. Did it just happen? So today we're dealing with greed. And I'm not actually going to teach you much of anything today. I think we started something interesting last week where we learn truths. We're going to delve into this book, which is like so awesome, and see what this book has to say for our lives and how it challenges us. And you're going to do that around your tables. Make sure each group gets one. And so we're going to begin as Scrooge McDuck is going to be our backdrop maybe, but I'm going to give you a page full of definitions of greed, and I want you as a group to write your own definition, and you will come up and share what it is in a few minutes' time. Thanks so much. Okay, so read the definitions out loud in your group, and then take a stab at it. Greed is dot, dot, dot. Okay, you've got about 3-4 minutes to do that. So take your time, but move it. Choose someone who's going to be your spokesperson who can deliver that definition with utmost intensity, eloquence, passion, courage, conviction. And we want no heckling. No interrupting the speaker, no points of order. You are not EFF this morning, or DA. You're just fat cats. Okay, here we go. This group is going to begin. Come to the mic and share your definition. The winning group gets a all expenses paid trip to Mauritius, including a helicopter ride around the island and living in the Southern Sun Hotel.
Okay, greed is lack of generosity, and it is also a sin that can make you do the most unbearable things, e.g. killing or stealing. It is the feeling of needing more than what you have, and it is being self-centered and inconsiderate, amongst others.
Wow, thank you. Thank you. Team number two.
We said greed is wanting physical things more than spiritual things. Greed is thinking of yourself instead of others. And greed is having everything you need and wanting everything you don't have.
Wow. Wow. Who's in the group at the back? Here we go.
We said that greed is an unnecessary desire for worldly objects, and it leads to the unnecessary suffering of others and creates a chasm between you and God.
Whoa. Respect. One sentence, one mouthful deep. Three or four nuanced meanings there. That is how to speak clever right there, Mario. This table over here. Jess. It's a hard act to follow, but I trust you can do an adequate job.
Sure. Okay, so greed is living for yourself, keeping everything to yourself, being selfish, and having a desire for more than enough, which is gluttony.
Very nice. Quite a lot of self. You thought that was good. Let's have another brother who's coming up. Is it Micah? Giving back one of the sweets before he puts greed out there. And the pockets? Lots of sweets.
If by sweets you mean earphones and phone, yeah, I've got plenty of sweets. We said that greed is an insatiable craving and primitive desire for things that you don't need that can lead to self-destruction, neglecting of eternal things for earthly things.
Wow, wow. I am so glad we're talking about Capetonians this morning. You know, those greedy guys from Cape Town. And people from London, because you know how greedy they are there in London. And from New York, you know. But none of us, let's face it, we haven't ever been tempted in the area of greed. Have you? I mean, I certainly haven't. So none of you got the definition right. So just kidding. One that I found that wraps up also some of these points is greed is the desire to possess wealth, goods, or objects. So it's not just money necessarily, with the intention to keep it for yourself beyond the needs of basic survival and comfort. So it's, I mean, you've seen the old DuckTales movies and stuff, and he literally goes swimming in his money, you know what I mean? And he's not the happiest guy, is he? Scrooge McDuck, you know, because he's worried the whole time about how much stuff he's got, you know, wanting to comfort. So it's, I mean, you've seen the old DuckTales movies and stuff, and he literally goes swimming in his money, you know what I mean? And he's not the happiest guy, is he? Scrooge McDuck, you know, because he's worried the whole time about how much stuff he's got, you know, wanting to stuff in more and more and more, you know. I've got lots of coins, but I really, really want that one, you know. I just want more. I want the other side of my face made up. I'm not quite sure what that is, but I just love that idea that I've got so much, but I want more. Please help, God bless. I'm not sure she would be given lots of money outside Rosebank Mall in that state. He who has or dies with the most toys wins. Don't you want to live there one day? I mean, it's a bit of a Minecraft mansion, but like, isn't that your dream? I want all that stuff. I don't want to have to walk to work. I want to go in my helicopter, you know, or maybe the Learjet to go to Mauritius and not have to go with like economy class and that's so low class, you know? I mean, ask yourselves around your table quick, where does greed originate? Where does it come from? It's probably hobbits. But where does greed come from? Try and find an answer to that, and we'll hear what you think. So who's got an idea to put on the table this morning of the source of greed? Which group? You can even shout it out. Yeah. Huh? Satan. Who's that? The devil. And how does he... Was he greedy? The first greedy dude. Yeah. He wants to take over from God. And he was this cool worship leader bringing praise to God. He's like, hey, I want this praise. I'm going to get all this praise for myself. So I'm going to ascend and I'm going to take it over. And I want this whole world. And I want... Is yours similar to that? Or the group at the back. Did you have an idea? Yeah. Andre. There was a cool picture on Facebook yesterday that if Adam and Eve were Japanese, they would have eaten the snake and not the apple. I don't know if in Japan, I'm sure they don't eat snake in Japan or China, but that's what the little Facebook thing was. Don't believe everything you read on Facebook, but we would be in a much better place if they'd eaten the snake probably, you know what I mean? And then your group, what did you come up with? My phone today with someone, it's an iPhone 6. But I threw it on the floor yesterday, and it's looking like a spider's web. So if you've got a nice one with a nice screen, I'd prefer that, and I'm quite happy to swap. iPhone 0. No, I want like at least 5. Okay? You know, it's whether I can look at you with your stuff and say, that's awesome, Tamar. That's an awesome Bible. Or like, oh, I want this Bible. You know, I'm going to make it mine. You know what I mean? I'm going to confiscate it, or I'm going to make a law that says thou shalt not own Bibles, and then I can get your Bible. You know what I mean? That's why you have to be in power so you can make those kinds of laws. Does the Bible say anything about it? And I'm sure it does. There's already, we've had the Lucifer connection with the Old Testament there. But I did find James 4 says, what causes fights and quarrels? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. There's this desire for stuff, this desire to have fame, popularity, or prestige, or respect in society. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight over it. Like fighting over sweets, sweet wars. You know, it's bigger than Star Wars, fighting over wars. Mahatma Gandhi said that earth provides enough to satisfy every man's need, but not every man's greed. There is enough resources, but unfortunately, people want all the resources. I know there's some students in our midst this morning, and they didn't introduce themselves because they kind of were welcomed on Friday, and they were here a few weeks ago, if you remember, on a Sunday morning. So they're kind of like family already. They're not visitors. But they lived last week in a very, I would guess you would say, impoverished community just outside Pretoria. And this week we've been eating at Nando's, you know, we went to Soweto yesterday. And the contrast between these different worlds, your world in the suburb, you may not have the latest gadget. You may not have the latest, like the full premium DSTV. Maybe you're on compact. How sucky is that? But do you know what? You have a television. You have running water. You have 3 meals a day. No, 6 meals probably. Don't you go in between? Yeah, we even do tea in the afternoon, you know what I mean? And tea at 8 at night. And we have stuff with that. And we don't think that we have, but we do, you know? And it's very easy for you to look at the next layer in society. Maybe they go to that all-girls private school, St. Mary's College, and they speak clever because they read Mario's book. Show us the book, Mario. Mario's got that book, How to Speak Clever, like so that I can sound clever than you, so that I can look clever, that my uniform is better, so that you will applaud me maybe. Earth provides enough to satisfy every man's need, but not every man's greed. So I guess the question is, how do we escape greed? Now, you're going to have another chance, if you want to share these around, 1, 2, 3, 4, ending here with 5. You're going to do what you did last week, We're going to delve into God's word. Each of you have a different reference. You're going to try and see if that's all you've got, what guidelines will be there in that verse to help you escape greed. And then you're going to write down some thoughts, and then you're going to come up and you're going to share that. And that's where the learning's going to take place. Yes, I'm going to be clever and put three or four words on the screen that I think wraps up that verse, but the learning is what you share back. The learning's not from the gray head this morning. The learning is from the young hair this morning. Okay? So there's going to be young hair up here. You ready for the young hair experiment? Go. So the person who comes up is going to read the scripture and then share what they discovered. Of course, it's a jam-packed scripture. You could find 10 things, but come and share something really helpful with us. Okay, so choose someone and get ready. We're going to start with group number one. Yeah, here we go. Okay, so she's going to read the verse. Okay, listen up, everybody. Listen up. She's going to read the verse. She's going to share us the wisdom that's come out of that group. Please.
Jesus told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, 'My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for?' Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God." And then we said to escape greed, be sincere to those in need, have a rich relationship with God, be selfless, and count all your blessings.
Very nice. To do that, you can't just be thinking about earth, about this life. Because if you are, but I've only got like 70 more years to get stuff and to die with all those amazing toys. So if that's all it is, then you're going to be greedy. But if you're living for eternity, if you're saying there's another life, not just this life, and that life is actually more important, that life is going to be millions of times longer than this life, and how I live in that life depends on what I do here on earth. It's like if I had an endless piece of string here and I've got just this first bit painted black. This life is that painted bit. The rest that goes on forever is eternal existence. And you are going to live eternally. But if I just live for the here and now, I'm going to make sure I'm live fast, die young, leave a healthy looking corpse and a lot of stuff behind. Okay, live for eternity, not just for earth. I think that came up in this group's definition or Jesse's about actually the supernatural as well as not just living and thinking about stuff for here and now. Okay, group number two. Who's coming to share on behalf of your group? Yes, lovely. She's going to read the verse and then share the wisdom. That looks like a very wise group, so I'm thinking, hold your seats.
Okay, our verse was from Philippians 4:11-13. "I have learned how to be content with what I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." How to escape greed. Be content. Start appreciating what you have. Keep your eyes on your own plate. Think about others. Do not compare yourself to other people's possessions and what you have or what you don't have. With Christ, you can overcome everything. Do not ask for more than what you have. appreciate what you have. There might be someone in need for what you have, but you're not appreciating it.
Very nice. She said, be content. I want to tweak that into aim for contentment. It's not easy to be content. You said keep your eye on your own plate. But what if he's got two lamb chops and I've only got one? What if, like, that's the one that's, like, cooked better than mine? Like, I'm going to wait until he goes to the bathroom and switch plates. You know what I mean? Because, whoa, I have learned, says Paul, to be content in any situation, whether I have plenty or lack. It's not whether or not we have stuff. It's whether we're content. Group number three. Yeah, you had the tricky one, didn't you? No.
Struggled. Okay. Then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." Then we said, "You should ask for God's help, work with God to solve your greedy problems, and you should guard against greed, and then share with others what you have, and then make sure your soul's not corrupt."
Wow. Profound. Yeah. Profound. If I... and maybe you had to edit the Bible, you might take that last sentence out. Life is not measured by how much you own. Of course it's measured by how much I own. If I don't own anything, I'm a nobody. No? If I'm walking to work, I want to be the guy driving that Porsche 911 Turbo. I don't want to be the guy walking. I want to take a taxi to work. If life is defined, if my value is defined by how much stuff I own, then can you see how I can't then be walking? But to learn to be content, that doesn't mean you must be defined as a walker for the rest of your life. Maybe you need to be that 9/11 guy that gives people lifts. It's how we use what we've got. Can I live on less? Why? So I can give more away. Being generous. Like, we were overwhelmed on our tour of Soweto yesterday with Tabile at how many kids are in a needy situation. Kids coming to you, like, throughout the day saying, "Please, can I have a rand?" You know, I bought the guy a kid's meal at Burger King. You should have seen his face. It was like he had fallen into the most incredible wealthy moment of his life. It was a kid's meal, people. It was 30 rand. That's all it took to get this young kid into a space of filling up his own cup with Pepsi. I would have gone for the Coke, but it's Burger King and they're not a great store. Like, how much does it take to bless you compared to maybe how much does it take to bless someone else? Just a little. If I live on less, I'll have more to give away. But if I live on more, if I live on everything I get, my whole salary, then I'm fried. Group number four. Bam.
If you have a friend who is in need of food and clothing and you say to him, "Well, goodbye and God bless you. Stay warm and eat hearty." And then don't give him clothes or food. What good does that do? So you see, it isn't enough just to have faith. You must also do good to prove that you have it. Faith that doesn't show itself by good works is no faith at all. It is dead and useless. Okay, so what that verse said for us was you have to actually do things outside of praying for people. So saying, "We're going to pray for your family, you know, and they're struggling and stuff," but then, you know, you're not there actually doing stuff, giving them things. Yeah, you're not doing anything. Having a genuine interest in the plight of others, so caring for the people you say you're going to help instead of, you know, just doing it out of some obligation you think you have, and, yeah, being empathetic. So basically, yeah, being the same thing, more or less, being able to relate as well. Yeah, and then I don't even know why we have this point in the verse. So faith without an act is worthless. Yeah.
It's an ouch passage, isn't this? Thank you, Jess. This is like, ouch. Can you meet every single need? No. Did we meet every need we came across yesterday? Heck no. It's endless in a way. But that mustn't disempower me from touching the needs of people around me, people particularly that God brings my way, and being wise in how we do that. Just thinking of others. I'm absolutely haunted by this picture. People are going about their business, and I'm even more disturbed by 1 John 3, that if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? So if I see someone in need, and there's no pity, there's no compassion, there's no wanting to reach out, and I may not have any money. Not all of us have extra disposable income, but what can I do? What can I share? Do I have to eat that whole thing? Look out at school. When that person's sitting near you, it's obvious that they don't have anything. You know, maybe sharing your half. Maybe God will double fill you on your half than what you would have. You would have just got sick and thrown up maybe if you had had everything that you brought in your lunchbox. Maybe. Group 5. I hope it's light now because we've had some heavy, deep truths. And just keep it light. You know what I mean? Shalom.
I forgot how to read. I didn't. Tell those who are rich not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which will soon be gone, but their pride and trust should be in the living God who always richly gives to all, who always richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and should give happily to those in need, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given them. How to escape greed. Give back and help people around you. Listen to God and ignore second thoughts. God has given us everything we have, so always share, recognize that everything comes from him, and give thanks. Glorify God with whatever you have, and surrender what God has given you back to God.
I love that second thought, hey, because when you want to do something, something's like, and I don't do that. Maybe it's going to spoil them or something, like a meal is going to spoil someone, you know. Share your stuff. There's an old proverb that I couldn't quite track it down. Someone referenced Martin Luther, the original Martin Luther, not the king chap. But it's an African proverb that if your goods are not available to the community, they are stolen goods. Ouch. If my goods aren't available to the community, they're stolen goods. Let's pretend I didn't even say that or bring that up, because that's just way too challenging. It's about being given stuff so that I can do good for others with it. The more you've been entrusted, the more responsibility you have to manage that and steward it. There's a time and a place to look after your stuff and hang on to it and not just give it all away per se, because then you've got nothing to share with anyone else. Wouldn't really help people around you if you became a beggar and then couldn't help people in need. Does that make sense? Because I think there's the temptation to hear these scriptures and to take the pendulum to the other side and say, well, because I don't want to be in that camp, I'm going to then have nothing. But nowhere does it say, you know, notice even addressing the rich, tell them to use what they have for good, not to give it all away and move into an impoverished community necessarily. And you know, there's rewards as we wrap up this morning. There's rewards for greed. There's incredible, awesome rewards. Like those who shut their ears to the cries of the poor will be ignored in their own time of need. What a reward. Do you want that reward? The other one is give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. Awesome reward, you know, to the greedy. Maybe not immediately. Maybe for a while it's going to go really well. I'd prefer to focus on the rewards of generosity, I guess. The Bible says they're going to be delivered by God. Those who are generous will themselves be enriched and rewarded. They will be repaid by God. Don't you want God to be in a position to be repaying you? Like God says, give and I'll repay you. Whoa, does God's bank account ever run out? Is God like gone broke? No. He's just going to sell that little planet, Jupiter or something, and then finance your need. I mean, imagine how much God can get for a whole planet. Like Mars is up for sale. You know what I mean? Like that little red planet. Like, yeah, he just needs to tweak it a bit. It's on special. They will be rewarded in eternity. That's a huge one. That a day is coming when all that is done will be acknowledged. And it's not why I get into eternity with God, but it's a reward. And they will be blessed by God. And they may even entertain angels. It's an interesting passage in Hebrews chapter 13 that says, give to people in need because you might be entertaining angels. Okay, I sometimes say to Debbie, normally angels don't smell like they are totally like inebriated and whatever, like they've been drinking just way too much. But I don't know. Maybe the angel just put some alcohol-smelling cologne on so that I'd be confused. But discernment, generosity. Am I going to stay on the greed wall, or are you going to move ever increasingly towards that side? It doesn't take money to be generous. It takes a heart and eyes and compassion and reaching out and doing stuff. Let's pray together. Lord, our hearts are deeply challenged by your word this morning, by how we live, by whether we see people around us, whether we give, Lord, when you nudge us to give, and whether we just on this desire just to amass wealth and stuff. And I pray, Lord God, that we would be found to be generous, that we would overcome and escape the prison of greed and having stuff for the sake of stuff. May we go for things that are important for survival, and may we go for more so that we can bless others and be generous. We pray that these verses will come back to us this week, and they will motivate us towards being kinder, more giving people for the sake of your kingdom. And may we allow people to know that you love them in our acts of kindness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next Sunday morning, Genevieve will be tackling another issue, this time anger. So bring your anger issues. There'll be anger management classes next Sunday morning. You up for it, Teboho? I am. No, not that you need it. God bless. Have a fantastic week. It's been a fantastic morning.